As most of you know, we've been going through the Apostles' Creed this week. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried, and that's as far as we got last night. So, if we're going in order, and we are, he descended into hell the third day he rose again from the dead. He descended into hell the third day he rose again from the dead. And I've read in each of the meetings, for each of the lines that we've taken, the words of Samuel Stone, who published a little work on the Apostles' Creed that was to explain each part. He descended into hell the third day he rose again from the dead. Samuel Stone writes, I believe that when the sufferings of Christ were finished by death upon the cross, his soul entered the place of the departed spirits of the blessed, and that so he underwent all the human law of death. But that as God suffered not his Holy One in the body to see corruption, so neither did he leave his soul in hell, for after 3 days he returned to life again, soul and body being reunited. Now perhaps we should just look at a couple of the words before we go any farther. He descended into hell. It says that in our King James Version. It says that in the Apostles' Creed. Well, what does it mean? It means the place of the dead. I read this summer that the way we use the word hell exclusively for as a place of punishment and torment for those who reject God's salvation only came into use in the 17th century. Before that, when the King James Version was written, hell could be used generally as the place where spirits went after death. In the sermon that Peter preached at Pentecost, and in the psalm, Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, in your newer versions, it says, what does it say? It says Hades in the New Testament, and it says Sheol in the Old Testament for that word. And that's what it means, the place of the departed spirits. And when Jesus went into hell, the place of the departed spirits, we know that he transformed it into paradise, because he told the thief on the cross, today you'll be with me in paradise. And so when Jesus died and descended, it's really a way of saying Jesus really died. Jesus, as I said last night, we got up to was crucified. I said, well, we can take dead and buried tomorrow, because it fits, it goes with this. Jesus really died. Jesus really entered the place of the departed spirits. And he was dead and he was buried. And we all know that story so very well. But Jesus entered, what does it say in yesterday's? He endured agony and shame on the cross to take off the curse due to us, that he did thereon truly die, so that his soul was separated from his body, and that his dead body was laid in a new tomb. And in connection with that, it comes to mind now, I think of that great word that Jesus spoke on the cross. There are a number of them. Perhaps you could tell me all of them. But that last one is really great. Into your hands, Father, into your hands, I commend my spirit. I commit my spirit to you. Jesus, as a man, never died before, but he went the way before us. And so he suffered death. Of course, his death is unique. But in his death, he knew, like David did in Psalm 16, Jesus knew that God would care for him his fathers would care for him. Just hours earlier, he had said, my God, why am I forsaken? Why have you forsaken me? And here he says, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. What a trusting statement that is. And what a wonderful example that is, that we can trust him. David knew that too. You won't abandon my soul to the grave. I know you won't. You have cared for me so faithfully in life. You've given me a goodly heritage. You've been faithful to me. The lines are fallen to me in pleasant places. And I know you, and I rejoice in your presence. And you're not going to abandon my soul to the grave. He had that confidence in God. And we don't mean to belittle death. It's the last enemy, and death is not an easy thing. We've seen our loved ones die, and some seem to slip away easily, some linger, and some suffer, and it's not an easy thing. And even though the Lord is with us, we're all, unless Jesus comes before, we're all going to face death. But faith in Jesus and trust in God removes the sting of death and the victory of the grave, because he won. Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory. We have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. As in Adam, we were talking about him the other day, as in Adam, all die, even so, in Christ shall all be made alive. And this is the Christian's hope, and to die in hope as Jesus did, to die in confidence as Jesus did. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Commend everything to you. I know that you are true. I know that your word will be fulfilled. And Jesus knew that he was going to be in the grave 3 days and three nights. He had preached that way. Here's the sign I'll give you, the sign of the prophet Jonah. Just as Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights, so the Son of Man shall be in the earth 3 days and three nights, but he'll come forth. And so he did. He descended into hell. Then the next word that I wanted to mention is, we read, but that as God suffered not his Holy One in the body to see corruption. That means, again, this is the language of a few centuries ago, okay, the English language, and I'm sure many of us follow this, but in case there's someone that doesn't understand the use of that word suffered here, God did not suffer his Holy One in the body to see corruption. It means he did not permit him in the body to see corruption, nor did he leave his soul in hell. But he raised him from the dead. He rose triumphantly in power and majesty. He rose again no more to die. In Romans we read that, in that he was raised from the dead. He lives never more to die. He dies no more. And we, alive in him, we sang last night, alive in him, my living head, we shall also live forever. We have the promise of eternal life. Just as Jesus said at Lazarus' grave, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And he got the answer that he wanted. He had brought her to a place of faith, of confidence in him. Yes, I believe, she said. When I hear that, I just want to say it. Do you? I say it in my heart. Maybe you did too, like Sister Ruth. She let it out a little bit. She said, yes. Okay, you just want to say it. Believest thou this? Yes, I believe. You are the Son of God. You are the one who gives life. Praise the Lord. So now, what's our reading? I know it's in Acts 2. I want to get the verses right. 22 to 32. Let's look up Acts 2, 22. Acts 2, 22. So it's 11 verses, 22 to 32. And in this passage, there is a wonderful quotation Peter uses from the Old Testament. So when I finish, you'll tell me where it's found, okay? I'm reading from Acts 2:22. Men of Israel, hear these words. Did I say that this is part of Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost? Okay, I am saying it now. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, was crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope, for you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we all are witnesses. So this was one of the major apostolic themes. You crucified him, God raised him. Come and take his salvation and confess him as Lord. He is the Savior who is alive, alive forevermore. Now, where is that passage of Scripture found that we quoted, or that Peter quoted? An Old Testament passage. Okay, I can't give all those treats. Too many people. Oh, sorry. Psalm 16, very good. That's one of David's great psalms and quoted in the New Testament. And when you read the psalm, you wouldn't say, oh, this psalm must be about Jesus' resurrection. But the Holy Spirit gave that to the apostles. And now we know that being a prophet, David was singing, writing, talking about Jesus, prophesying about Jesus. I have set the Lord always before me. We had that last Monday night at the prayer meeting. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad, and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. David knows the Lord, and he has experienced his goodness, and he trusts him, as he has experienced his goodness and mercy in his life. You remember he said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He had experienced it, and he knew assuredly that he would continue to experience God's goodness and mercy all the days, and then beyond his days here, he would dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So he had this confidence, you will not abandon my soul to Sheol. So that's the same thing as Hades. One is Hebrew and the other is Greek, or so I'm told. I don't know much of any of that. I have to read it and take what I can. I know my father used to tease and say that he knows a little Greek, and that's Gus. You know, so, I mean, oh, he's not here. But this is Hebrew. You will not abandon my soul to the, that's to the same as it says hell, or let your Holy One see corruption. So Peter preaches that David saw corruption, and Paul says that too, but Jesus did not. Jesus did not. He arose from the dead. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And if that verse has its first application to Jesus, and we believe that it does, we're there too, in Him. And we experience fullness of joy in God's presence. And God shows us the path of life. And we know that at His right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Jesus is alive, and we know Him as our Savior and as our Lord. I was reading in that book, Affirming the Apostles' Creed. I really like it. I think we're running out of them in the bookstore, right? So you can order it by Packer if what I say means anything to you about that book. About a Puritan who was dying. His name was Preston. And they asked him if he found death, now that it was so close, something to be feared. And this is what he said: "No, I shall change my place, but I shall not change my company. So I shall leave my friends here, but not my friend, capital F, for he will never, never leave and never forsake me." So this Puritan John Preston had the victory. Oh, grave, where is thy victory? He had this confidence and a victory over the grave and the fear that it brings. He descended into hell or Hades, yes. And I think there's something so wonderful about that in Peter, in the epistle, 1 Peter. We read something about what Jesus did during those hours when he was in the grave, and some of that is a little unclear to us, and it has been interpreted in various ways. But I think what makes Jesus' entry into the place of the dead important is for us is that we can face death knowing that when it comes, we won't be alone. We don't need to fear. Thou art with me. And Jesus has been there before us. And He'll see us through. I think that's a wonderful confidence that we who believe in Him can have. And then Jesus rose from the dead. He descended into hell the third day. He rose again from the dead. Praise the Lord. So we used to sing a song. We're not quite finished, but it just comes to me now, and I just like to sing it. We loved this song at home about Jesus alive from the dead. I am He who lives and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. And it went like this. And you may have heard it and perhaps like to sing it too. He rose a victor o'er the grave. He lives exalted now to save. He lives to plead my cause on high. He lives to guide me with His eye. He lives to bring me to the sky, and I shall see Him by and by. A victor o'er the grave, He lives exalted now to save. He lives to Can't help it. On Calvary my Savior died, wherefore my sins he bled. He rose and I am justified. He lives who once was dead. He rose a victor o'er the grave. He lives exalted now to save. Captive held him but an hour, my ever-living head. He rose in glory and in power, he lives who once was dead. He rose a victor o'er the grave, he lives exalted now to save. Cause on high, he lives to guide me with his eye. He lives to bring me to the sky, and I shall see him by and by. So I'm just going to make a bridge into this evening's part. It says this: now high above the highest heaven, he's seated in my stead, and grace for all my need is given. He lives who once was dead. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hebrews, we read, oh, this is for tonight. I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. But we read, he appears in the presence of God for us. And I often think when I enjoy his presence, as we gather together in his name and we know that he is in the midst, in the presence and power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus is here. Jesus is here today. But I often think, oh Lord, thank you for dying for me. Thank you for the great victory, the great triumph of the cross and the resurrection. And thank you for your ascension and exaltation. Thank you for the perfect sacrifice. Then I think it's because he's there that he's here. And that he's here. And that he ministers to us constantly, as we said at the beginning of meeting, as we keep our hearts open to him. He's always ready to bestow grace in abundance upon us. So, what did I say? Now high, right? Now high above the highest heaven, he's seated in my stead. And grace for all my need is given. He lives who once was dead. He rose a victor o'er the grave. He lives exalted now to save. He lives to plead. On high, he lives to guide me with his eye. He lives to bring me to the sky, and I shall see him by and by. Praise the Lord. You can't get more cheerfuler than that, can you? So, just want to wrap this up now. Easter Sunday. Back at home, I mean, this just happened. Don't take any credit for it. But after the meeting, I thought, that was an inspired idea. I didn't think you were great, but I thought that, I said, thank you, Lord. I asked the people to tell me, what does the resurrection of Jesus, it was in the evening meeting, what does it mean? What does it mean for us? And so many people had things that that blessed me. And after meeting, I think Sister Antia gave one during the meeting, but after meeting, she came to me, and she's such a good teacher, you know. She teaches the kids, and she stood right in front of me as she was walking out the door, and she said, "It means, it proves that he's the Son of God." And I think she said Romans 1:4. Did you say Romans 1? Of course you did. So that was another one. We had quite a few, but the resurrection marked Jesus as the Son of God. He was raised, the Son of God with power. Speaks about the spirit of holiness there. The resurrection vindicated his righteousness. We read that in John 16. It demonstrated his victory over death, as we just read this morning in Acts 2. It guaranteed the believer's forgiveness and justification. We have that in 1 Corinthians 15. We have it in Romans 4 at the end. Remember, Abraham believed God, and so should we. And Jesus was delivered over to death for our offenses, but raised again from the dead for our justification. And it also means to us that we shall be raised, that we shall be raised. Christ, the first fruits afterward, they that are his at his coming. And it also means to us that we can live in resurrection life now. Romans 6:4, what does it say? We also can walk in newness of life. Well, how marvelous, we sang the other night. That's marvelous, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Jesus rising from the dead. I guess that's the most hopeful thing that ever happened in history. We serve a risen Savior. I know that he is living. Whatever men may say, I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. Just the time I need him, he's always near. Let's sing Christ Arose. Okay, yesterday it was a little town of Bethlehem. Today it's Christ Arose. 105. I suppose many of you think, how can we sing this song sitting down? So if you think that, stand with me, please. Okay.
Lord, in the great he lay, Jesus Christ, Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus, from the grave he rose, with mighty triumph for his foes.
From the grave he arose, with mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, wonderful Lord. Hallelujah. Alive forevermore. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Is alive, alive forevermore, alive, alive, alive forevermore. My Jesus is alive. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. My Jesus is alive forevermore. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. My Jesus is alive once more, alive, alive, alive forevermore. My Jesus is alive, alive forevermore, alive, alive, alive forevermore. My Jesus is alive. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Sister Gerda, would you pray with us, please, in closing?
We thank you, dear Lord, for your great love. We thank you that you're living today within us and surrounding us with your glorious presence. We thank you for this meeting this morning where you've encouraged us and encouraged us to go forward in faith and trusting you. We pray for each one on the grounds, that they will have a wonderful day today in Jesus. We ask it in your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.